Well, thank you, Musos and Brad, for introducing us so well into our topic this morning, which is the topic of choices. Doesn't really matter to any of you what I had for brekkie. Just the normal piece of toast, jam, cup of coffee. That doesn't affect any of you. The next stage, however, what I'm doing for a job has an effect. The next stage, who I'm married to, has a powerful effect. But who I believe in and follow is the most important choice that I've ever made. So some things don't have any effect or don't affect anyone else. But as we go up, they continue to have a more powerful effect. So today you've got your little leaflet about choices. And it says this: God gives us a free will. He hasn't made us robots, as Dion said. His love appeals to us. His truth warns us, but he never compels us. We can ignore his love, disregard his warning, but we need to take personal responsibility. Start of the new year, people have made resolutions, whatever they mean, and however effective they are these days, I'm not sure. But I guess some of you saw or heard during the week of the young guy, late 20s, black Mercedes, speed flat out through the boom gates and escaping police until he was finally caught here in Adelaide. $50,000 in cash in the car, as well as quite a quantity of drugs. What makes a person make those choices? I mean, is it the greed to get the money? Is it a poor background and he had nothing and so he's going to make a go of it? Is it just to show friends I can do it? What is it that makes people make choices? Some making correct choices and some making what we would consider stupid choices. We've already been reminded that Jesus makes this beautiful choice. Everything is possible, Father, for you, yet not what I want, but what you want. Now, we've just sung Everything for Jesus. We've just sung Be Thou My Vision. So is that sort of a joke? Is that serious, or is it just, oh, well, we're filled in time singing this song? I mean, they are really quite serious commitments. All to Jesus, I surrender. Whatever some of those songs are, they're songs of commitment and serious commitment. We need to realise that when God asks us to do his will, we need to realise it will stand in opposition to the norms of the world. Hanging on our wall in one part of our house is this little plaque that says, "Don't confuse the truth with the opinion of the majority." And unfortunately, I think in the Christian church, we have been pushed around by the majority of the world, by the opinion of the world, and often we have not stood and said, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is what God says. And even in our lives, we've been prepared sometimes to be pushed around rather than to say, no, this is the direction I've taken, all to Jesus, not to the world. So we need to be careful, friends, in the choices that we make. Now, pardon me, when we flick over on our little sheet, we're just going to go for a walk this morning through the book of Mark. And we're going to look at the people Jesus met and the decisions or the choices that they had to make. So if you've got your Bibles, wonderful, please open it at the start of Mark. We're just going to pick up some thoughts, or I'm going to pick up some thoughts and hopefully link them into what might be serious in terms of characters. Mark starts his gospel by saying, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" And then we have the story of John the Baptist. Looking a little like me in gardening clothes when I'm feeding chooks. He probably came as quite a weird looking creature, and people said, "Who on earth is this?" It's been 400 year break. Between Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and the sudden appearance of John the Baptist here. So there was a gap, and people are saying, what is God doing? What is happening? Is anything happening? And all of a sudden, this unusual-looking man who, I don't know whether we call him vegan or what he was, but anyhow, steps out and starts saying, repent, and be baptized. And everyone would be going, who is this weirdo? Who is this odd bloke saying these things? Although there were some people who very carefully were looking for him. John the Baptist, faithful proclamation. But when we zoom down a little bit, we find there in Herod, in 6:14, we find a silly man. Friends, we are going to find, as we walk as Christians, we are going to find people who confront us, and they have made choices. Now, Herod had made a choice. He said, "I will give you what you want." And so this little girl manipulates and says, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a plate." And some of you have seen some incredibly gruesome looking paintings. The one over there in one of the galleries in Italy with John the Baptist's head on a silver plate, his tongue out and a knife in it. Depicting that it was because of his preaching and speaking out against the situation with Herodias and Salome, that that's how he ended up. Friends, as we walk through the Gospel of Mark, faithful proclamation of Jesus results often in death. Results in death, as Brad said, to many of those apostles or disciples. We think, oh, that's not going to happen to us. I wonder how many of our Christian brothers and sisters today overseas, because of their faithful stand for Jesus, have either been executed or imprisoned or are being tortured. We just don't realise. Now, I'm not wanting to take it lightly, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. But what I'm saying is, we taking a stand on Jesus often are confronted with people who have taken another stand and will stand against us. And we need to be awake and realise that. We come to Jesus, and he is obedient with his ministry. What does he say? Father, I want to do your will. And right through the Gospels, there is that challenge of Jesus with a focus to do the will of the Father and not to waver. It ends in death for him. It ends in death for him. We need to realise this. What happens with the disciples? Well, they say, we're going to follow. We'll do anything you say, Jesus. We'll follow you. Well, coming along by the sea, he says, yep, leave your jobs, come and follow me. I'm always interested that he didn't make it easy, because he said to one group of people who came, no, nick off, go home, sort out, because foxes have spots to live, birds have nests to live in, but if you follow me, you may not have anywhere to even lay your head. Oh, come to Jesus, we say. That's not what Jesus said. As he walked along, he said to his disciples, come and follow, but you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Get the order right. There's a denial, there's a taking up of a cross, and there's a following. This is what it is to make a choice to follow Jesus. Pardon me. As we go on, we have the leper who comes forward. He's a person who Jesus meets. A leper came and said to him, as he knelt before him, if you will, can you please make me clean? Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him and said, I will, be clean. And immediately he was made clean. Then there's the woman in chapter 5. Now, both of these people were outcasts. They weren't allowed in the temple. One had leprosy. He had to call out as he walked down the street, leper, leper. And everyone walked on the other side of the street because they didn't want to catch leprosy. The woman who had what most people considered to be just a time of having a period, but maybe it was more serious. She wasn't allowed in the temple. She wasn't allowed to worship in the normal way. So aren't they brave, both of these people? Coming forward, the leper comes and kneels. Everyone looks and sees. The woman comes forward. And can't you imagine saying, oh, her, get rid of her. Look at the trail that's coming along. Oh, yuck. Get her out of the way. But she comes just to touch Jesus. Friends, anyone here this morning who just needs to, in a way, move out of their comfort zone and just touch Jesus or be touched by Jesus? Here are two who are outcasts. And it may be possible that someone here this morning thinks, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. And what does Jesus say? I will make you better. Who touched me? He says, when the woman touched him. Who touched me? Aware even of the touch of that unclean, unworthy woman. Friends, no one here this morning is unworthy. As Jesus walks along, through the book of Mark, he walks amongst us. And if we are just prepared to say, Jesus, please, or to reach out our hand and touch or grip on to the hand of Jesus, Jesus is prepared to meet us. So important. As we wander on, we see the parables. Yet we've all heard the parable of the sower and the seed many, many, many times. But I'm always amazed because we have four responses. Four responses. One, two, three, four. Please all stand up. Not going to ask you to do anything stupid. Right. Well, I don't think it's too stupid. Right. Now, this group was the first group. And stony ground, sit down. The next group had trouble too, sit down. The third group, thorns grew up and the cares of the world did some strangulation, sit down. This group thrived. Well, part of it thrived. Because I think the Bible says, in the end, 30%, 60%, 100%. So not all of this group actually produced as well as they could have. So where do we stand? Three quarters have said no thank you or have fallen by the wayside, as we say. One group has continued on, but only part of that group really produced 100-fold. Let those who have ears hear, Jesus said, and basically let those who have ears respond to what they hear. So if we wanted to, we could say, or if I wanted to, I could say, perhaps that group back there, sit down, please. So you might be the 60, 100% group. You might be. You're the productive group who hear and respond. Please sit down. Friends, where do we put ourselves? Where do we put ourselves? It's a bit sad, isn't it? That here's Jesus walking amongst people, teaching parables, teaching stories, and even out of that, he has to say, those who have ears, let them hear, and let those who respond, respond wholeheartedly. Where do we put ourselves? Herod, we've dealt with at one level. Group pressure. Please, please, please be careful. Group pressure is so powerful. Talking about it at Sunday school, teachers meeting on Friday night. The pressure that our young children have to cope with, but the pressure that all people have to cope with. The pressure. Do I need a bigger house? Do I need a television that takes up the whole wall? When missionaries are saying, please, please send us some more help. What are we hearing? How are we really following? And what choices are we really, really making? The blind man and Bartimaeus come through. Jesus, please, please give me sight. Get out of the way, you blind fool. Please, please give me sight. He comes forward. I don't know how, feeling, but he comes forward asking Jesus to minister to him. Again, another ministry. Do you see anything? We saw with the, we did see. The man with the trees a couple of weeks ago. What do you see? Well, I only see half, he says, I guess blinking. I only see trees. How lovely that he was honest. Friends, as Jesus walks amongst us, making choices, we need to be honest in a choice. Jesus, I can't quite see this clearly. Holy Spirit, I need some help to understand this. I'm reading the Bible, but it doesn't make sense. How wonderful that this blind man said, I can't really see, I can only see trees. And Jesus said, good. Now we'll rectify the situation. And I think that's true with a lot of Christians. Oh yes, I understand it, and we haven't. haven't understood at all. We need to say, Jesus, I'm not quite clear on this. It is not sinful to have a doubt or to have a question. God's big enough to answer it. How wonderful. How wonderful. The rich young ruler. Well, he couldn't have sung, could he? Riches I heed not. He couldn't have sung that song because actually I want to hang on to what I've got. Another gospel said, when this bloke came to Jesus, Jesus looked at him with love. What would that look have been like, Deborah, do you reckon? What would it have been like to have had Jesus standing there looking at you with a look of love? Amazing. Do you think you could have refused? No. But he made a choice that moment and basically said, no, too costly, I'm out of here. A lot of people, I think that. Cost is too great. What I've got to give up, not going to, too much. And then we have the lovely story, don't we, of James and John. Can't you just imagine a lovely little chubby Jewish mother? And she's, I've got these two lovely boys, and oh, they're such good sons, and they're lovely. And she pushes one forward, and he says, we want you to do something for us. And Jesus said, yes, what do you actually want? And there in chapter 10, we want you to do something for us. Can we please, sit one on your left hand and one on your right hand in glory? What a question. What a question. Do you ever say to God, I want you to do this for me? I want you to do this for me. Not like the blind man who wanted to be healed, but I actually want something more significant than that, something more important. And Jesus, of course, says, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm drinking from or baptized with the baptism with which I'm being baptized? We're able, they said. Mum's told us. We're able to do all of that. We read that now and we say, no, there was no way. But we do need to be careful as we wander through the book and we meet Jesus and we make choices that we're not asking for something that glorifies us or gives us positions of power, but rather gives God the positions of power. Palm Sunday, 1 minute they're all crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the next minute, well, not quite the next minute, but a little later, they're crying, Crucify, Crucify, Crucify. This is the power of group pressure. Any of you who are watching any television, just know at the moment the incredible changes that have come with sporting pressure for gambling and other things. Just phenomenal. And at a young age, kids are being trapped in. Go to the cricket, go to the footy, go to anything. And here's McDonald's or KFC handing out stuff free. Who to? To kids. So that's why we're now going to have in South Australia none of that advertising on any of the public transport. None of that inappropriate food. Because it just takes kids in, it breeds obesity and unhealthy eating. But friends, we all need to make those choices. We laugh and say, oh, it doesn't hurt for them to have this. And no, I'm not saying it does. But what I'm saying is, friends, it feeds in. Some of you might know people who are addicted to gambling. Some of you might know people who are addicted to alcohol or addicted to something else. It just started as a little interest and it's become a major problem. We need to be very, very careful. And then we have Judas. And we're going to leave Judas for a moment because we're going to look at Judas after we've sung the next song and we've come to communion.